The Ordinary Discussion Podcast.
Obviously, it's going to be pretty embarrassing for whoever loses.
Which won't be me. Okay, let's do this. So you're going to ask me.
You're going up first.
And then we're going to call my wife.
Question number one. Guys, welcome back to the Ordinary Discussions Podcast. I'm your co-host, Aaron, and I am pumped about today's episode because we're doing something that we've never done before. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. And before we get into it, though, I need to remind you guys to like, share, subscribe, rate this podcast wherever you're listening to or watching. That helps us to get the word out for Ordinary Movement. We are disciples making disciples, and we want to encourage other people in that endeavor too. So please do that. That is so helpful. And now, without further ado, I'm going to kick it over to our host, Jeremy McCommons.
All right, let's do this. What's up, Aaron?
Dude, I am, as you heard, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for what we are going to do today.
Yeah, I thought you kind of missed an opportunity in the intro.
Oh, I did.
You missed it because you should have said, I'm loving what we're about to do.
Mm. Of course.
Because it's Valentine's Day. This is our Valentine's Day episode.
Valentine's Day.
You didn't
Day
throw
is
any
right
hearts, loves. You said excited. Like it was your opportunity to go love for once.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Valentine's Day for me has changed over the years. And maybe I'm just a little bit salty because this Valentine's Day, my Valentine's not going to be here. Depending on how you look at that, that could, you know, be a pro, a con. I don't know. But
is your daughter around?
My daughter is going to be around.
Well, there you go. Yep. We'll just do that.
So I could love on her a little bit. Yeah. Typically we get something for her, make it special for her, but it's always been kind of about the wife.
Yeah.
So, but before we get into what we're doing for Valentine's Day, because it's something super fun, I do have to acknowledge we did get a comment that I want to shout out because we love when people give us comments. And so last podcast, we got a comment that said from Michelle. Or Michelle Mitchell. I don't know how you say it, but she said this is very smart and informative, referring to our podcast that you did on goals. And so that was our comment that we need to shout out. Thank you for leaving a comment. If you guys have something you can share with us, always leave us comments because we want to shout it out on the podcast. And Jeremy, speaking of those goals, are you still doing good with your goals? You tracking? You've got them all
Heck
laid
yeah.
out, everything?
I can't wait to review them all in February. It's awesome.
You gotta review the goals every month. So that was huge. If you missed that episode, go back and watch it and leave us a comment there. But
you know, hey,
on that, yes.
You know, you talked me into doing it. I didn't think that I should do a goal setting podcast because
a lot of people need that.
I'm just not sure I'm the most informative person in that category. But apparently, some other people found it good. I got more text messages on that podcast than any podcast I've done. And we got a lot of downloads as well for the free information to help you guys do your own podcast, your own goals.
Maybe that's one of their goals.
Yeah, I'm also not a good person to teach people how to do a podcast either. So.
No, I think you did great. I think it resonated because a lot of people, they do need to organize their goals in a more proactive way. So that tool helped. So thank you for that.
Well, good. I'm glad we did it. It was enjoyable and I'm appreciating the feedback. So
as we move into the next part of the year where we're focusing on Valentine's Day right around the corner, I thought we could do a little game, a little competition, if you will, surrounding kind of our spouses and maybe how well we know our spouses sort of thing. Are you like one of those romantic type? Like, did you Valentine's Day typically go all out, get a bunch of rose petals and stuff? Like, talk to me about like
because
I have no clue.
Before I answer this, anyone listening, make a comment if you think I'm the guy that goes all out for Valentine's Day. Yes or no?
Dude, maybe it is.
No,
maybe
I know. I mean, maybe I'm setting them up. I mean, here's the deal. I went all out today. I wore a pink hat purposely for this episode. A pink hat.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
If that's any indication, then Jess is very blessed on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, she is. Because I hate the holiday. Honestly, guys, I know we're coming up on Valentine's Day. It's just not my fave. I really don't like it. you know, I'm not like a Scrooge about it. I think it's really cool to like love our spouses and all those things. It just seems so made up, so fabricated. It's like, man, this one time a year thing. If it helps a couple, great. But for me, it's just like I go get the exact same dinner I would get any other time, but I pay three times the amount. I have to like get a reservation like 6 months in advance. I don't know. I'm over it. I think it's a Hallmark holiday. I think, yeah, I'm sure people will tell me that I'm really mean or whatever, but I love, I still,
so mean, Jeremy.
I still try to do nice things for my wife and I do nice things for my daughter. And I usually buy my son some candy or something because I'm not going to get him flowers, but I don't want him feeling left out either. And that's his love language is food. He loves food. So, as well as myself. But yeah, it's just not my thing. What about you?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think like if I look back, it used to be a bigger thing, in the dating phase.
Oh yeah.
Like when we were in high school, I would like decorate the locker, like get some stuff like to put in the locker. Mm. Like I just remember like going through the mall before Valentine's Day and literally like shopping, like, let me get this. Like I need to like make an impression on this day. Cause like, God forbid her, you know, friends are getting all the stuff and like, what did your boyfriend get you? Like, I didn't want to be like that. But I feel like as we've gotten married and farther along in our relationship, we've kind of been like, more like what you said, like it's, I guess we should be doing things like this more than just once a year. So,
yeah.
But I think sometimes guys like miss it and it's like the Valentine's Day is their reminder to actually do that thing.
Yeah.
So that's another problem, guys, for our ordinary men out there that we should probably talk about or encourage one another toward. But where it's landed is that once a year, I do like zero cooking in the house. Like we're not big cook, you know, cooking meals and things like that. Especially me, like I use the microwave and reheat stuff and order out. But I started this a couple years ago. I'm like once a year on Valentine's Day, I'm gonna use that as an excuse to look up a meal, cook something Gordon Ramsay style, and cook it up for Carrie. So that like really meant a lot to her, which I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like I'll do that again. Because it meant a lot because I never do that. Yeah. So now it's like, okay, this is something that we don't have to deal with reservations. We can execute it pretty easily. And it takes thought ahead of time for me because I don't know what I'm doing in the kitchen at all. But other than that, it's pretty low key. Like you said, we don't typically go out and do the whole reservation thing. Kind of crazy.
But I will say the guys listening that are like, yeah, man, I'm like you, Jeremy. This thing, it's like, it's not my thing. That is not your excuse to do nothing.
Like that's a good call.
It's not about us. It's maybe your spouse really appreciates it and you got to put yourself aside. You got to like put a smile on your face and make it enjoyable for her. Because like saying, hey, I hate that. I have heard men, man, I hate that stuff. I just skip it. I'm like, man, how do you think your wife, I don't say that, but inside I'm like, what do you think your wife thinks about that? Like, she's probably sitting at home like, oh my gosh, everybody else is going out or whatever it is, right? So I do think that's important. Like, that's marriage in and of itself, right? It's not about us. It's about the other. But, hey, on that note, I'm going to tell it myself. I want to know this. Maybe we don't want this comment. Maybe I'm the only one that's willing to say it. Who broke up with their girlfriend before Valentine's Day so they didn't have to buy presents and spend money? I didn't. I'm not saying I did. But
I was
going
to say that sounds super personal.
Who did?
I'm not in that category, but I have heard somebody that did that. I have heard that.
Oh, it was a regular routine for me. I was like, man, I don't have $100 to spend. What am I going to do? So it was like, it was easy. Easy decision.
Oh, you did do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to be funny like I didn't. But no, I did it.
Wow, that was you.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, that's I'm just telling on myself a little bit right here at Valentine's Day.
Hey man, that was a younger you and you found the one and that's all. You
know, I mean, if it was the one, I would have stuck. But it was like, man, if she ain't the one, I ain't spending $50.
I'm not coming out of pocket for not the
that
one.
That was a big deal for me back then. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That's funny.
Anyways, this is going to be fun. I thought today, since Valentine's Day and everything, we would do sort of a newlywed game / how well do you know your spouse competition. Jeremy and I going head to head
on
this. So we've got 10 questions. I'm going to ask Jeremy 10 questions first, and then what we're going to do is see if we can get Jess on the phone and ask her the same questions. So we will get a point for each one where our spouse said the same thing that we thought that they would say. So, Jeremy,
what is the prize?
The prize, the winner gets 1 million something. 1 million
likes.
Ordinary men hats.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Okay, so there's no prize. It's just pride.
Okay.
It's pride.
Pride.
Which
yes.
cometh
bragging
before
rights,
the fall.
Bragging rights for this year. And so, oh, a trophy. We could do this. If I'm going to win, because I'm going to win, obviously, we can get, I'm the champion for that year. And then if next Valentine's Day might be up for grabs again.
I think the winner doesn't get anything. I think the loser has to do something.
Well, I'll let you, but maybe you guys decide. Put in the comments some suggestions of what we should do, and we'll determine. But obviously, it's going to be pretty embarrassing for whoever loses.
Which won't be me. Okay, let's do this. So you're
going
to ask
me.
You're
going up first.
And then we're going to call my wife.
Question number one. Question number one.
Is it like, do I have time to think on it, or is it like I have like 3 seconds?
You just answer these questions. You don't have time. You just answer what you think.
Well, it's important. I mean, my wife could take a while to answer some of these. Like, is she going to have like, it's like fire. It's like.
I'll give you the first one. You decide. So. Okay. Question number one, where did you go on your first date?
Ruby Tuesday's Harrisonburg.
Wow. That's funny, and I'll tell you why later.
Okay.
Who said I love you first?
I did.
You or Jess?
Me.
Okay. When and where was your first kiss?
Forest Hills Block Party, JMU.
Okay.
Forest
block
Hills
party?
Block Party. Block party, like
okay,
beginning of the school.
Party.
Beginning of the school year, man.
Okay.
I was looking for the right girl early on.
He locked it in.
I was senior, she was a freshman. I was no joke. I was on the path.
You were serious. Between the two of you guys, who is the tidiest?
Me.
Okay. She may take offense to that. I don't know. Which of you is the better driver?
Me in stressful situations, her everyday situations.
Okay. So if you're stressed, you drive better.
Man, I'm ready to answer these faster, man. This is slowing
you're
me down.
Good.
You're writing these answers out.
What would be your spouse's ideal date night? Describe your
I think it would have something to do with activity, like physical activity, like like maybe like hiking up a mountain, but followed by like luxury, like maybe a massage or a spa or a really nice dinner at a nice restaurant. So like rough,
okay.
but pleasure. If that makes
all right.
This is not that does not sound good.
moving on. I've got the notes. All right. Name the best gift that they ever gave you.
Oh, best gift ever gave me. Best gift ever gave me. The gift that she keeps giving me is a freedom to do the things I love. That may be tough for her to get, but I tell her that all the time, so we'll see.
How does your spouse like their steak cooked?
Doesn't. She's vegetarian. Boom.
Oh. Okay. That's a gimme for you, probably. What's your spouse's worst habit?
I got to be careful here, but being late.
Wow. And who says sorry first, you or Jess?
Me.
Okay. Those are the 10 questions. They're locked in. I've got the answer. So now the only thing left to do is call Jess and see what your score is.
I'm going to call her right now.
All right.
Jessica.
I can't wait.
She's had a little cold lately, so bear with her.
So careful. She may have the sniffles.
Yeah, don't get too close.
And it may affect her answers.
Don't get too close to your stereo.
6 feet. I'll say 6 feet.
Hello?
Jessica McCommons. This is Jeremy with Ordinary Discussions. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
And also Aaron. Aaron is also here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And I have some
Hi,
questions
Aaron.
That I've... I'm so excited
I got
to
a barking
ask
dog.
You these questions. And Jeremy has been asked 10 questions. And we need you to answer those same questions to see how close he was to knowing your answer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Come on, baby.
Question number one, where did you go on your first date with Jeremy?
Ruby Tuesdays in Harrisonburg.
Wow.
To the D.
Identical answers. Okay, that's one. Who said I love you first?
I'm sure it was him.
Oh, another correct answer. She's very sure of that, Jeremy. You'll have to get into that later. Why that was. maybe he knew before you.
Oh, there's somebody got a text.
Okay. Where and when was your first kiss?
That is a great question.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is.
Maybe at Ruby Tuesday?
Okay.
Jessica.
That is incorrect.
Jess.
Well, it may be correct. I don't know. You guys can argue about that later. But he said it was at the Forest Hills block party at JMU.
That's probably right. His memory's better than mine.
Jay, I kissed you before our first date. Come on now. Don't you got to give me I wasn't, you know, I had it going on.
Well, our first date was pretty soon after we met. So.
I know.
It's all fuzzy.
I'm not too mad right now, but if you get any more wrong, we're going to have some issues.
Yeah. Okay. Who is the tidiest between you two?
Oh, him.
Okay. On track here. Which of you is the better driver?
I mean, I'm going to say me, right?
Okay, I will give that to you because he said you, but he is the better driver in stressful situations. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay, so you agree with that.
I would definitely give him that.
Yeah, I said you everyday situation. So you said yes to the one that is 90% of the time. So we got
okay.
That's a
yeah.
We
we'll
got
give
that.
It. We'll
we
give it to you. Yeah. Jess, describe your ideal date night.
Mm.
For me or for him?
For you.
In general. For me.
For you.
My ideal date night would be doing something fun and active and doing a fun dinner after. So like depends on whether it was winter or summer. We go by the seasons here.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's strangely accurate. He said physical activity, maybe something fun, followed by luxury dinner, like massage, something like that. So that sounds pretty accurate there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Mm. I might be in
trouble. We are so in love, babe.
You guys are amazing. Name the best gift that, like, we asked Jeremy what the best gift that you ever gave him was. What do you think he said?
That I ever gave him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't really like anyone to buy him gifts. So that one's a little hard. How about that I let him hunt so much?
I say it all the time. She had to get it right. I tell her all the time.
Can I use that one? Because I don't know that I've ever given him anything super fabulous.
That's very accurate, and that's a yes, because he said freedom to do the things that he loves.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We know
I tell her all the time. I'm like, that's the greatest gift you ever give me, baby.
That's amazing.
You're so good.
This one may have been a gimme. How does Jess like her steak cooked?
Well, I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat steak.
Boom.
Correct.
I knew that about my wife. She's a vegetarian.
That is correct. You are a vegetarian.
I am.
We asked him what your worst habit, what your spouse's worst habit was. What do you think he said about you?
Oh, being late.
Maybe we've had a few arguments about that. I don't know. Just saying. Maybe weekly. Maybe it's the one thing that I get really upset about.
Last but not least, who in the relationship says sorry first?
Him, for sure.
9 out of 10, baby. 9 out of 10.
Wow. That's impressive, McComas.
And I'll tell you the truth. I impressive. Think she knew the answer to the first kiss. She was just embarrassed to say she kissed me before the first date. She didn't want the world to know that, but she did.
I don't know. She seemed pretty fuzzy on it. It must not have been a very memorable first kiss.
I think she was just embarrassed. All right.
Wow. Great job, Jess.
Thanks.
Jess, I'm so proud of you. When I get home.
Did we win?
I will give you a big
did
kiss.
Did we win?
Well,
we don't know.
Not yet.
We're about to call Carrie.
Calm down.
Good. Okay. Tell Carrie
to say
hi.
All right. We will.
Love you, babe.
All right. Love you. Bye.
But
okay, that was fun. That was fun.
Wow.
So I'm going to ask you the questions.
Yep.
I don't know that I can type as fast as you, so I'm going to just try my best here.
Okay.
Okay. Where did you go on your first date?
First date, this is why it's funny, we also went to Ruby Tuesdays in Fredericksburg.
Okay, Ruby Tuesdays, Fred. Okay, who said I love you first?
That would be me.
So Aaron.
I said it.
Okay, when and where was your first kiss?
First kiss was, I think it was in her basement, like after one of our first dates, like. Went back in, got a little kiss, got out of there.
I like it. But I will say, you wrote these questions, so if you win, that's unfair in and of itself.
Hey, man, I pulled ones where I thought you got 9 out of 10, Jeremy.
I know, I'm just saying, if you win, that's why.
I did not rig this. I try to be as fair as possible.
I'm very competitive. Who is the tidiest?
She is. She definitely is.
Okay. Which one of you is the better driver?
She is.
Okay. What would be your spouse's ideal date night?
Ideal date night is probably dinner at like a nice restaurant and then maybe like hanging out in the hot tub. Mm-hmm. Hey man, every marriage needs a hot tub.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with ending the date with a hot tub. Okay, name the best gift they ever gave you.
I'm gonna say that probably I might get in trouble in this one. I'm gonna just say a guitar. Like probably she's given me a guitar before that was just like, what? Oh, can't believe it, sort of thing. So
perfect.
Probably that.
How does she like your steak?
Medium rare. Definitely medium rare.
Medium rare. Okay. What's your spouse's worst habit?
I don't know if she'll agree, but I agree with what you said for Jess. So I think there's maybe a trend going on here. So I'm going to say the same thing, being late.
You know, we did that wrong. We should have said what is our worst habit because we're really getting ourselves in trouble, like pointing out their worst habit.
Hey, yeah. our marriages have to be strong enough to withstand.
Yeah, I guess this so. Sort of scrutiny. I'm gonna get like slapped when I get home. Maybe no. Who says sorry first?
Whoever says sorry first, I think is gonna be me.
Oh, okay, it's gonna be Aaron. Okay, all right. I'm gonna call her. Let's see.
Okay, I need a 10 out of 10 here.
I'll let you talk first here when I call her when she answers.
Hello.
Greetings from your husband.
And Jeremy.
Hello, guys. How's it going?
Oh, just excellent. Are you ready to do this, Carrie?
I'm ready.
Do you have anything to say?
Wait, am I first or did Jess already go?
Jess already went, but I'm not going to tell you how we did. I'll tell you at the end.
Regardless of how they did, we need to do well. So focus in and connect our minds.
Do you have anything you want to say before we start this?
No.
Okay. Darn, I was hoping you'd say something really enlightening. Okay. I have 10 questions. You're going to answer them quickly. You ready?
Wait, what are the, are they from, I don't know.
He's just going to ask you the question.
I'll make it clear in the question. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. First one. Where did you go on your first date?
Ruby Tuesday.
Where at? What town?
Central Park in Fredericksburg.
Oh, boom. She even went Central Park with it.
Dude.
Okay. Because that could be the
same first date.
That could be the tiebreaker is how specific, right? Who said I love you first?
Probably Aaron. I don't remember. So.
Oh, that's what he said. When and where was your first kiss?
In the back. This is embarrassing. In the back of his mom's Suburban. Oh, I'm wrong.
Do you want to know what he said? He said it was in your parents' basement after your first date.
It was my parents' basement. I needed. I should
see.
It wasn't.
You tried to get me in trouble with my mom.
It wasn't after our first date. It wasn't after our first date.
Okay. Well, no. Listen.
Was it before your first date?
It was my parents' basement.
Was it before your first date? Oh, Jess and I kissed before our first date too. Man,
there's a lot in common here.
guys, we got to raise our kids different than ourselves.
I'm working on it.
This is great. Jess got that wrong too, by the way. All right. Who's the tidiest?
Definitely me.
Oh, you got it right. Which one of you is a better driver?
What would he say or what would I say?
What did he say?
I sure hope he said me.
He did. What would be your spouse's? This is, by the way, we're tied right now. Okay.
Okay.
What would be your spouse's ideal date night?
So is that from my perspective or his?
No, what he thinks, what he thinks your best date night would be. What he thought would be your ideal date night.
Probably just going to dinner.
Okay. Well, it could come down to a tiebreaker. So my wife was a little more,
specific.
Yeah. And so there may be more to it. Is there more to it or is it just dinner?
I feel like you're leading me to say more, but I like,
I mean, it's your ideal date night. Do you just want to go to dinner and come back? Or I mean, is there like, what would be the ideal?
I mean, he wouldn't say dinner and a movie. I'm trying to,
Well, here's what we're going to say dinner. I'm going to give you a yes, but if it's a tie, we win because it wasn't, because she wasn't okay. Specific. Do you fair agree? Enough. Do you agree to that, Aaron?
That's fine. Okay. I think we're going to.
He said dinner. My phone's beeping. It's Alex Rossi. I'm trying to do a podcast, Alex. Alex Rossi is our director of operations.
We love you, Alex.
We do. Man, we could not do it without you. Okay. He said a nice dinner followed by hanging out in the hot tub.
Oh, he's right.
Oh, he's right. I thought you were going to say,
I'm wrong about myself.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So that could be the tiebreaker.
That's worth a bonus point.
We'll see.
Me being right and her being wrong.
Name the best gift they ever gave you. So what was the best gift that Aaron said you ever gave him?
That I ever gave him?
Correct.
I don't know what he'd
say. She's going to get this wrong.
Maybe when I gave him a guitar?
Yes.
Boom. See, it's what right? She...
Yes, that's right. Correct.
It's what she thinks I would say, so that's good, because there's so many better answers, like my kids, like our love, our marriage.
No, he said guitar. You did it. You did it.
Yes. Okay, well.
Then the next one is, how does your spouse like their steak cooked?
Medium rare.
Yes. What is your worst habit, according to Aaron?
My worst habit? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'm just so perfect.
No, I'm trying to think what you'd say. Probably working too much.
No, that means... Well, I'm not going to say what that means just yet. He said... he said being late.
Oh, that's true.
I don't see that in your career.
True.
You're so like...
Yeah.
You're so type A, I feel like.
I'm type A, but I'm really bad about being late. Because I get in the zone and I can't stop what I'm doing. I have to complete my project.
You're so type A, it makes you late. Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. All right, my wife is not that. That's the opposite. My wife's is, I said the same thing about my wife. It was being late. Who says they're sorry first?
Aaron.
That's what you said, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
So, Aaron, since you tell your wife that you're sorry first, I think it'd be a great time to apologize for you losing this game today.
I'll be the first to admit I could have chosen some better answers there, but we were close, and there was a lot of things she went back on. She was like, "Oh no,
I know." I think it was only two that I got wrong. I think, is that right?
Yep.
I would say we were a tie until. You said that your worst habit was working too much. That was the only definitive wrong one that you got, other than the kiss, which Jess got wrong as well. So really it came down to that. I have to give you the others because you actually answered it right. So I think you guys did great, just not as great as Jess and I. And maybe next time you have something to live up to. So there you go.
We'll get them next year, Carrie. We'll get them next year.
Hey, they've been married for longer. How many years have you guys been married?
Carrie, you can't ask me that on live podcast.
Yes, she can.
No, I don't know. I always mess it up. I can never remember if we were married in 2005 or 2004. I always mess it up.
Oh, wow, it looks like this bonus question may be determining who's better after all. Because Carrie, ask me how long we've been married.
How long have you been married?
13. That's boom. True.
That is true. Yeah, so ours is like,
hey man,
I think it's 18. I think.
Yeah, see that? You guys have had more time to iron out these questions and kind of solidify, so that makes sense.
Well, Carrie, you did a great job. You're a great sport. Thank you for being on the podcast. It's your first time on. Maybe we'll have you on in the future for a full podcast to talk about women and entrepreneurship.
All righty.
All right. Hey, thank you. See ya.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We did it. That was great.
Wow, man. All right. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You get the title.
Thanks. Thanks. All right. Our guests are probably bored by this by now. So let's get into a little topic about marriage. How about that?
Yeah. So, well, one of the things that I actually was going to ask you is how long you've been married. But my wife already asked
17
you
or 18 years. 18 or 19. Or 18. I think it's 18. I think it's 18.
No. Yeah. And we've been 13. We're 13 now, which is like, it just seems like once you get to like 10, past 10, you do something special. And then it's like, it really just kind of builds and builds and builds, like how well you know one another.
What'd you do for your 10?
10 year, we went to, that was one where we went away. Was it Barbados?
Nice.
We went to Barbados. And we're like, 10 years, we got to do something. And that's something we just planned ahead for and did, which I think is cool. Like 10 years just seems like, I mean, it's a whole decade. It's a committed, you're committed the whole time. But just the lessons that we've learned, over the years and the maturity because we were young when we got married.
Yeah.
A lot of maturing happened since when we first were married and now, and going from 20s to 30s, in and of itself without marriage or kids or things like that, I'm sure has its own challenges, but throw marriage and try to be God honoring through all of those things together. That's not just a easy thing all the time.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you kind of the same thing, what lessons you've learned or how you define a God honoring marriage and some of the things that you maybe experience in your, what did you say? 13? No, you're 17 or 18.
18. We're just going to say 18. And I really hope I'm 18. Right.
You probably are based on those questions. I think you're probably right.
I think 18. I am. Do you remember, by the way, before I answer that, do you remember being a kid and somebody saying, I've been married 17 years and you're 13 and you're like, oh my gosh, they've been married longer than I've been alive. They're so old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I say 18 and I'm like, man, it feels like yesterday I was married and I still feel really young. But people look at me as being really old. It's just funny how life happens, isn't it?
Yeah. Those moments still happen to me at those weddings where you do the dance, the couples dance, and then someone's still dancing and it's like, they're still up there and how long have you been married? 62 years. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's new levels.
Yeah, it could happen 62. I mean, if they're married at 20 and they used to get married even earlier. So it could happen. Mm-hmm. That'd be, something to look forward to.
Yeah, if you had to define a God honoring marriage, what is it?
Gosh, I don't know. That's a tough question. I don't know if I have an answer for that. God honoring. I think God honoring marriage is obviously putting Christ at the head of the marriage. Right. And to me, it's putting him first. I think it's very hard to have a marriage that's God-honoring if we put our spouse above him. And and then recently, and I'm not really answering your question well, but kind of along those lines, recently, and I mentioned it in a podcast, I was really challenged by the Lord in the way that I treated my wife. I'm maybe the only one that maybe has talked bad or blew up about something stupid with her wife, but I did. And I felt very convicted on my morning prayer walk. The Lord was really, the Holy Spirit put on my heart that that's his daughter, right? It's not just my wife, it's his daughter. And, it's just, I felt like he was saying, don't disrespect my daughter. I just feel like by putting Christ first in a marriage, it really causes you to think about certain situations much different than maybe you would if you didn't. And so I don't know if I have a great
that's good
answer for that. Do you? Do you have a definition of what that looks like?
I don't feel like I can write the book on it yet. It's sort of like having kids, right? Like you kind of want to wait and see how your kids like develop, and then like you can say, okay, here's some things I believe. And so after 13 years, there are definitely things that I've learned. And I think I agree with you 100% that if you're trying to please your spouse first before you please God, then you've got things upside down, because I think only out of a place where you are truly committed to God and can hear from Him and promptings from the Holy Spirit on how to, just like you just, that example, right? You may have a very justified argument with Jess where like you're 100% right, but if you're closed off to like the Holy Spirit saying like, hey, like your tone there was not loving at all. Like,
yeah.
You may be more concerned about winning the argument than honoring God through your marriage in that way. And you know, like a lot of the problems that I've had, like in our marriage, like where I just had things backwards, was definitely symptomatic of that, where it was like, you're the leader of your household as a man of God. Mm-hmm. And so your wife is looking at you like saying like, okay, like I'm going to follow you following the Lord. Right. If you just look biblically, I think there's reference and scriptural reference we can use to back that up. And love your wife as Christ loved the church. And so she's looking at us as the leader, not just financially or whatever it is, but like spiritually. So if that spiritual leadership isn't there, then there's a missing link almost to where, wait a minute, you're not following what you're supposed to be following. So who am I supposed to follow now? So yeah. Like we almost make our wives kind of lost in that regard if we have it backwards. So I do think a God-honoring marriage is start with both spouses committed to following the Lord 100%, following God 100%, being grounded in the Word of God, using that as the thing to measure everything, and humility. Carrie's joking that I say sorry first, and I think that's because she's stubborn. I think she's more stubborn than me. But I just, you know, like, I think humility, like saying like, hey, I want to do this, but God calls us not just in our marriage, but overall to put others before ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think you can have a successful, selfish marriage. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. The whole sorry first question is interesting. I think I say sorry first because I have to say sorry more often. And it's just, you know, different personalities are prone to different things, right? So my personality, if any of you know me personally, is I'm an external processor, and I am I'm quick to say how I feel. My wife, on the other hand, is the complete opposite. She internalizes. She really mulls things over. Mm-hmm. And so at the same time where a person like myself can, I admittedly can be hard to deal with at times, because it's like, maybe there's an outburst. There's a lot of passion, in what they're saying, and at times anger, right? I mean, that's been something that I've had to deal with my whole life, is, deal with how to handle frustrations and not turn it into anger and outburst.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because with anybody, not just my spouse, I'll also be 5 minutes later totally over it and willing to go back and say, hey, my bad, I'm really sorry. Because it's just how I was processing in the moment. Doesn't mean it's right. I'm not saying that gives you a get-out-of-jail-free card if you're like me. It's wrong. It's something I'm continually dealing with. But it's just, and that's what's crazy about marriage, right, is we are married to these people, and we all have different ways of communicating. We had all these different ways of inputs throughout our lives of how our parents did it. And maybe you grew up in a house where a voice was never raised. And I grew up in a house where there was a lot of voices raised, but it wasn't a bad environment. It was just, that's how we expressed ourselves. Right. And, and then you put these two things together and it's like, oh my gosh, boom, collides. And I think, I mean, that's what makes marriage so, so difficult. I have more on that, but I want to go back. I was wanting to say, when you were talking about the context of a biblical marriage, I think the way I can't define it, but here I would define it through an example. I tell my kids all the time, my wife and I tell our kids all the time, that we are going to take, it's not all about them all the time. It's sometimes it's about us, meaning Jess and I. And because we tell them, if we don't make it about us, then what we have to give you will look way different than it does today. Like, it'll be a split home. You'll be living with me one week and her the next, and split. I mean, it won't look like it does right now. So if I give all my time and energy to you and don't give any to my wife first, then we won't have the thing that you want, right? And so we have to put the right things first. So if you look at that in the context of God, it's like the same thing with our spouse. I've got to put God first, because if I don't put God first, we're not going to have this, you know?
That's good.
And so it's almost like the same thing I say to my kids, but to a next level. And that's how I would probably define it through an example, right?
That's so good. I love that. There's more on that. There's more on that, like on a parenting episode or something like that. But that's huge. Just the relationship there, and contrasting that with the relationship with God. I love it.
Yeah, that makes it make sense to me. As you were talking, that came to my head.
That's cool. I'm glad you were able to pull that out.
I don't know.
Going more practical.
Yeah.
If you know, let's say you got somebody that's year one of marriage. You know, they're done with the honeymoon and they're just really getting started.
Yeah.
What's like some advice? What's some advice you would give year one marriage? Like spiritually. You know, there's many things we could go, but just practically, what are some things that practically have served you well in your relationship?
Well, I think you're going to have some great stuff too. So I really want to hear your thoughts when I'm done. I'll admittedly say that there were times in my marriage that weren't great, right? And I think anybody that's been in marriage for as long as we have, 13, 18 years, if 18's right, well, if they don't say that, I'm not sure that I think they're being real sincere. Because it's tough. Marriage is tough. And I think that's one thing that we should make clear up front to young married couples is it's going to be tough. Like, don't expect it to always be roses. Because as, you know, Daniel Foyd, my pastor in Virginia, was a youth leader at one point, and he went outside and he saw a bunch of the kids and they were like smoking and listening to rap music with F this, F that, may have been some alcohol. I don't remember exactly how far it went. But he was really disappointed in it, you know? He's like the youth leader, and these young kids are out there doing the very thing that he's, like, telling them not to do. And I think he – and Daniel, if I get this wrong, correct me. But he said – I doubt he listens. But the premise is there. He went back to a senior pastor and was really disappointed. And his pastor said, it's all about expectation. You can't expect a cat to bark, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that changed this whole – when your expectation is kids are kids and you're going to walk out in the parking lot and they're going to be doing things that kids do, it doesn't make it okay, but it causes you not to be continually disappointed and frustrated. Mm-hmm. It just lets you know, hey, I got work to do, but that was my expectation. Yeah. I had work to do. Well, the same thing in marriage. Sometimes I think we give this perception that it's all rosy and great every minute of the day. And then when the first thing happens, it's like, oh man, my expectation is totally rocked. And I think expectations are good. Like, if you expect your spouse to disappoint you, because we will, I will always disappoint, right? Then it's like, okay, I expect that, and we're going to work through it. It's not like some major shock.
And discovering all of those. I mean, marriage is that long-term commitment that I think when people get, you know, sever that commitment too early, like they don't stay committed to the vows that they made, then they forego the opportunity of knowing someone in such a deep level, good, bad, ugly, like every aspect of, like, that's kind of like the pursuit of the relationship developing. Whereas, like, I know so much, like, we had some silly questions here today, but I know like Carrie can make a face and I know what she's thinking and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And like, you get to this level of understanding of one another that I think the real reward and treasure of relationship, God honoring marriage can be. And if you stop short, then you miss that opportunity. And so part of it is having those right expectations. I think that's huge. We hear it at the pulpit, right?
Yeah.
What's the line of,
good and bad, sickness and health.
Sickness and health. Yeah, all that. Yeah. We hear that, but it's just words. We're like, a honeymoon.
Yeah.
Time to go to the honeymoon.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, I would tell someone year one, to make sure that you have a couple of things in place that will serve you well. Even if you don't see, even if you don't see why, stay in community and stay in church, stay in community. Because a marriage like by itself isolated is vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you don't know why you need community until you need community. And then you're like, wow, I'm thankful that I had accountability in this area or help in this area. The second thing I would say is continue to pursue your spouse, regularly. Like when we instituted a regular date night, like it's on the calendar weekly. Sometimes with kids and stuff, it gets booted or adjusted, I would say, but intentional time, like on the calendar to pursue and spend alone time that isn't just, you know, passing conversations at dinner or whatever. I would say those are two things that have served us very well. And so I'd say, yeah, make sure you have those two things. There's more, but, you know, you're not going to listen anyways, because you're year one and you're not year 13 or 18 up in this piece. But just remember those things. If you're in year one of your marriage, stay in community and pursue your spouse continually, because the Lord will help you along the way. You'll reap a harvest.
Yeah, I mean, we're going kind of long here. We're, you know, 40 plus minutes in. Mm-hmm. I would kind of wrap up with some, I think, are really practical, not only for beginning out, starting a marriage. Of course, my only thought isn't that we should have proper expectations. I have a lot of thoughts. could talk a lot about marriage, because obviously mm-hmm. we've worked on ours a lot. But these yeah. are just some thoughts that I would give to people starting out. But even if you've been married for 30, 40 years, maybe 30, 40 is extravagant, but you get my point, is there's never a wrong time to work on your marriage. And that would be the first thing, is work on your marriage. You know, it's just like the goal setting podcast last week we did, or 2 weeks ago. You know, and it's fine if you don't set goals. I'm not criticizing anyone. I understand we're all different. We all have different natures. But to me, the way I process, it's like, how can you have one life to live, and not a soap opera, but how can you have one life to live and not really engage how you're going to live that life, right? And not work mm-hmm. on making it the best it can be, and just letting it happen. I just can't do mm-hmm. that, right? Well, it's the same with marriage. You know, it's no mm-hmm. different than that with marriage, and it's something that has to be continually worked on. So that would be one. Another would be go to counseling. Like, go to counseling. So many people push back on counseling. I'm not going to go to counseling. The counselor, I hear this from men all the time. The counselor is just going to take my wife's side. She's just going to take my wife's side. You know, the counselor doesn't get me. The counselor, well, okay, but go to counseling. I think there's never a wrong time to do that. You don't have to wait until it's a huge problem. You can go when it's a small problem. In fact, Jess and I, 2 years ago, went for 5 straight days. It was an intensive, and we went out of town to Colorado Springs and did counseling. Was there anything crazy wrong with our marriage? Absolutely not. Were we on the brink of divorce and fighting all the time? No. We weren't. But I have this philosophy, and Jess has adopted it in our marriage as well, but I have this philosophy in life, is if something's average or kind of good, why not make it great? Like, why not put a little time into it and take it from being average or somewhat good and make it next level? And if there's yeah. one area in my life that I want to be next level, it's the person I'm going to spend the rest of my entire life with. So we said, we're going to invest 5 days of our life and do that. We had a vacation plan. We actually canceled the vacation and did that instead, and spent the money that we would have spent on vacation. Because our philosophy was, okay, we're going to give up one vacation and a lot of fun and time in the sun, but it's going to make every vacation from here on out better. And it has thus far, right? So that's another, is counseling. I would highly recommend a book, and many of you have heard of this, and so you'll say, I already know it. That's great. But put it into practice then. And that's mm-hmm. the 5 love languages, I think, is the name mm-hmm. of the book. Yep. You guys can look it up. Maybe we'll have Wes put a link in the bottom. But knowing how your spouse wants to be loved. Like, when you said to me today that I made a dinner for Carrie and she actually really loved it, well, that made me immediately, when you said that, I thought, her love language is acts of service. Right? Maybe I'm wrong, but I have this feeling, based on you saying that, that she feels very loved when you do wow. something of service for her. Am I right about that?
You're 100% right.
Yeah. So, I mean, immediately when you said that, I thought that. Well, knowing how your spouse is loved, like Jess is an acts of service person and a quality time person. Okay. If I go and try to love her through gifts, will she appreciate it? Sure. But it won't make her really feel loved. She'll think it's cool. Yeah, I got a new purse or whatever, but it's not going to make her feel loved. What's weird is I would have thought that's how she wanted to be loved, because that's what I see on movies, right? But if I go and clean the kitchen before she has a chance to clean the kitchen and wakes up on a Saturday morning and sees the kitchen clean, she's like, oh, man, thank you for cleaning the kitchen, right? That's her, that's her love language. It's really important to love the person the way they want to be loved, and the vice versa. Like, one of mine is words of affirmation. Like, I love when I have, when she gives me words of affirmation. Like, that's how I want to be loved by her. It's not necessarily some of the ways that you would think. So I think that's really important. And then this book, which is, we discovered through that counseling 2 years ago, and I said it when I read it, and everybody I know that's read it has said it, and everybody I know, I've known a couple other people that have done the same counseling that we did, and they all have said the exact same thing, and that is, this should be a required reading for every new couple. Ignore the front picture, it's really cheesy, but it's called Intimacy. And I know you're going to be like, man, everything you do is intimacy. Your core value in Ordinary Men is intimate. This was before I even knew. I mean, this came after the core value. It's really amazing. It says 100 day guide to lasting relationships. But what's cool about it is it really addresses a lot of things that keep couples from having. And when I say intimacy, I'm not just talking about sexual relations, by the way, but a true deep relationship with their spouse. It addresses a lot of those things, right? And it's not in a scary manner. It's done in a very good way. But then it goes extremely practical. And again, I'm this way too, but people always fight back. And it's like, well, I'm not going to follow the step-by-step. Like, I'm going to do it my way. Well, don't. Just do it the way he says. He's a psychologist. He's counseled thousands of couples. He knows what he's talking about. But, you know, you go to, like, date your spouse or go to therapy, right? That's one of his chapters. And it's all about dating. And so you say to me earlier, Aaron, that I date my wife, right? Well, I dated my wife for years, but dating my wife was, okay, we're gonna do something on Thursday night. And then we jump in the car on Thursday night and we'd look at each other and say, what do you want to do? And then we would have a 30-minute pseudo conversation argument about where we were going to eat, what we were going to do. No, you decide. I don't want to decide. You decided last week. Then we get to the date, to the dinner, and we would talk about all the things that I'm about to say that you shouldn't talk about. And then at the end of it, we'd say, well, what do you want to do now? And it'd be like, well, I don't know. Maybe we'll run to the grocery store. We have some time. Like, who has done that on a date night? Like, I'm, yeah. It's cheesy as all get out. Imagine that. But that's what we do. He sets ground rules around dates, and then you agree to it. And there's actually, as weird as it sounds, there's little contracts in this book you can sign as a spouse, and you have it, right? But like he says, each date, and I'm just going to give you a preface into this because this is really practical, and it will hopefully motivate you to buy the book and read it. But he said, because this will challenge your date nights. Every date should be planned in advance by yourself, meaning the husband one time, the spouse the next, with no consideration for what your spouse wants. So,
okay,
it sounds selfish, but what it does is you get to plan a date night that you really want to do, Aaron, right? Now, of course, it's going to be something. It may be something that, like, for example, one time I planned a date night that we went to the river. I fly fished. She sat on the bank with some, you know, hummus and crackers, and we made a little picnic out of it. We talked while I fly fish. She took pictures and chatted with me, and she would never have done that in a million years, but she really enjoyed it. And then we went to dinner, and then we did something after, but it was all geared around like things that I would enjoy. And then I don't have to feel guilty about doing a date night that I enjoy, because the next time she can say, I want to go to a fashion show. And then I get to sit through a fashion show, but she didn't, but I'm just trying to think of something I would hate.
I was going to say, whoa.
I'm trying to think of something I would hate. So then I got to go, then we go, but maybe, probably not a fashion show, let's say an opera. Maybe I would never go to an opera any other time, but I found that I actually enjoyed it. I'm just saying, what if, right? And so it's a really cool way to have fun with your dates, because now you plan it. And now you don't have any of that, like, hey, what are we going to do? I'll be quick. I'm gonna try to hurry
here. What do you want
to
do?
And then there's rules in the dates. You can't discuss problems. You can't, like, it's not a time to discuss problems in your marriage or in your finances or and with your kids, you can't discuss money in the date. I mean, these are all the discussions that you normally discuss at a date, which are not really a date. You're like, you're doing things that you should do outside of the date. You can't run errands, right? You can't shop unless shopping is what she wants to do. I mean, you don't go to the grocery store and grab some broccoli, right? Which we all do. And then you have to agree to how often, what's your frequency of dating. And then you get this into a plan and you agree to that plan and then you run that plan. And then you can decide. But he has a lot more things where you review that plan, just like we talked about our goals, right? You review your plans every so often so you stay on track. Jess and I found the other day that we hadn't reviewed our plan in like 3 months and we weren't following our plan. And we were like, this is terrible. So we went back through, we reviewed our plan. So I'm very long-winded here, but you can tell I think this is a great book. So it's Intimacy by Doug Weiss is his name, W-E-I-S-S. I would highly, highly recommend it for all you
guys.
Link
in the comments below. We'll put it in the description so that you guys can buy it if you
for sure. And I can keep going. I'm not going to bore our audience with more of my thoughts.
Can I just say words of affirmation to you?
Thank you.
I don't think it's boring at all. I think it's challenging. I think as you're speaking, I'm going, maybe like a little bit of like prompting from the Lord too. Like, Aaron, how's your date night game? You might need to turn up a little bit. And whenever we have a tool like the goal setting tool, like it just makes it easier to say, hey, that's great. We all want to have a more fulfilling, God-honoring marriage, and this is a great way to do it. So I think everyone that's listening will appreciate that tool. So thank you for sharing it.
Well, good. Hopefully you guys enjoy. And if nothing else, your date nights will be a lot better. They are so fun, especially when you jump in the car with your wife and we kind of make it a surprise. She'll be like, where is this?
So you don't know. You don't know what you're doing.
A lot of times we don't, cool. right? And then it's like, cool. you know, one time she was like, she prepped me with like, hey, make sure you have your ski boots or something. And then we went to the mountain. It's called skinning. You put things on the bottom of your skis and you go up the mountain. You can go up the mountain. Then you take them off and can ski down. But it's called skinning. And she's like, we're going to skin to the top of Arrowhead Mountain. And then we're going to ski down to the Ritz-Carlton. And we're going to have dinner. And then we're going to have headlamps. And after dinner, we're going to ski the rest of the way down to our car. And then we're going to go home, you know, it was like, whoa, that's an unbelievable day. I mean, incredible. That was like, yeah, I mean, but you would never.
That's some bachelor like date stuff right there.
Of course, you know, that's how we roll.
You need to film your dates.
I'll start filming dates. But
oh my gosh.
But how much fun are date nights if you think that could be in store for you, right?
Yeah, that's so fun. Yeah. That's fun. We need to do that. That's huge.
So,
well, thank you for, you know, competing with me. Congrats for having the win on the newlywed game challenge.
Sorry, we're so good.
I'll lick my wounds. Guys, if you appreciated this podcast, let us know in the comments. Don't forget to comment, connect with us, follow us on all of our platforms. We want to stay connected with you, and we want to hear from you. And so we look forward to connecting with you in that way.
Hey, guys, have a very, very lovely Valentine's Day. From the bottom of my heart.
Yes. We know how much you love Valentine's
Day. Yeah, you guys know. But hey, love your spouse as well. Let this be a fun podcast with some encouragement and how to do it, how to love our spouses better. I was going to say do it better, but anyhow. Hey, before I get myself in trouble, I'm going to say let's do this and see you guys next time.
Let's do this.
Later.